Right. You want to see that on their face?
I want to see 5 seconds later after this where Susan Sarandon turns to Gina and she's like, oh my God, I can't believe you made me fucking do this. And she's like strangling her to death. And they're just screaming in absolute, oh my God, we're going to fucking die. We're going to die. And they should freeze frame just before the fucking impact.
And the theater is silent.
Yeah. Do you want to blow us away in the theater? People be like, what the fuck?
Did I just watch?
I like this and you like that. It's just another review podcast. We pick a show, sit down and chat. Now listen to the start of our show, because it's now. Hello and welcome to Just Another Review Podcast, or JARP for short, or J-A-R-P in Cincinnati if you're feeling nostalgic. I'm one of your two hosts, Sean.
And I'm the other half, Russ. We welcome any feedback and comments at jarppodcast@gmail.com. That's jarppodcast@gmail.com. Let us know what you think, what you'd like, what you don't like, what you wish we'd do more. Just tell us something. We'd love to hear from you.
Yes, please, 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 please. This podcast is meant to be a companion to what you just watched. And what did you just watch? Why? Well, we all sat down and we all sat down virtually and watched The Mosquito Coast on Apple TV this week, Russ.
And if you haven't seen the first episode, stop everything, make some popcorn, and take a poke at this Apple TV exclusive. But if you don't, be warned, there are spoilers ahead. But alongside what happened?
I don't know. What happened with you? Spoilers. I'm saying you said there's spoilers.
But there's spoilers ahead.
There you go. Okay. There sure is.
Man, the flank. Get on the deck. Swap the hole.
Walk the plank. Swap the deck.
All those are true.
Yes, yes, yes.
But alongside our review of The Mosquito Coast, we will also be pairing it with a movie from our childhood.
Yes, flying blind a bit, we try our best to match our current selection with something fitting from the past. And this week I've chosen Ridley Scott's Thelma and Louise.
Let's ride.
Yeah, let's ride.
I think we always fly blind.
Yeah.
We never watch the show before we pick the movie. We always pick them both.
Well, no, we can't.
Yeah. Well, no, we could. You could watch the first episode of the show and then pick a movie. You could do that. That's true. But we don't. We don't do that.
We don't.
We're being transparent.
Maybe you'll set a new trend then this time.
Or I won't. Who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows?
Like I said, the name of the show this week is The Mosquito Coast. It's an exclusive on Apple TV. Who knows if it'll move elsewhere, but, Apple TV produced, I imagine it will just stay within that streaming platform.
Until someone buys out Apple TV.
I don't think anyone's buying Apple
TV. Or the TV version of Apple TV. Apple will keep itself, but will they always have like a media franchise?
We'll see.
Media. I don't know.
We'll see. A 7.4 out of 10 on IMDb. I mean, you can't always trust those numbers. Sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. Who's in it, Russ? Justin Theroux, your man, Justin Theroux.
He's so hot.
Yeah, he's a good-looking man. Melissa George plays his wife, Margot.
Oh, she's so hot.
She's a good-looking woman. Logan Polish, don't let the name fool you. It's a female. She plays Dina.
Somebody's in the kitchen with Dina.
The teenage daughter.
You think it's Dina or Dina? I don't remember from the show. I assume it's Dina, but
I don't know. It depends how masculine she is.
Dina, call me Dina.
Oh, hey, Dina.
It's actually Dina.
Oh, sorry, Dina.
I'm Dina now.
We've already found something Sean has to cut out of the episode.
Why? What's wrong with that? Leave it in. That's fine.
And the last main character here is Gabriel, not a part of Jason's family, Bateman, who plays Charlie, the young son. Who directed it? Rupert Wyatt directed it. It's based on a book by Justin Theroux's uncle, actually Paul Theroux.
It's a small world.
It's a small world. You gotta love. What's that called? Nepotism? No.
It's who you know. Nepotism, isn't it? Who you know? Yeah.
I think so. Who you know? Actually, the story is that Justin went through the whole proper auditioning process, and once he got the role after auditioning just like everybody else.
Just like
everybody. Then he let his uncle know that he was part of the production. So his uncle had absolutely nothing to do with, supposedly, quote unquote, nothing to do with.
Uncle probably had nothing to do with it, but I'm sure that was part of their deciding factor, because that's a good story.
Yeah, maybe.
It's a way to spin it if you're wanting to get people's attention.
And maybe he doesn't, keeping it in the family, his day rate is a little bit less than it normally would be. Who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows?
Not us.
Yeah, Neil Cross and Tom Bissell brought this to us here. Don't know much about those guys. Did a little bit of research. I kind of leave the research up to you, Russ.
No.
I'm a busy guy editing these.
You
got all the good details. But anyways, looks like Tom Bissell, I believe, came from a game writing background. Wrote a lot of dialogue and cinematic scenes for video games. One of them being the Uncharted series, which is actually probably the pinnacle of sort of cinematic games, I would say. It's an amazing video game series.
You've played it?
I've played the first one.
Is that where you get in the car and you drive around the town and you beat people up and you steal things?
No, this one has more of a story mode, and it's kind of like a new age Indiana Jones kind of, I would say, more theme. The great thing about those series is that they seamlessly transition from sort of you're playing the game to watching a cutscene. Normally most games, it's like, widescreen bars come down or it fades to black and up comes a scene and then it fades out or whatever. And then you're back to playing the game. This one, it kind of goes in and out all the time while you're playing. So you always kind of have to have your controller ready. You're not quite sure when the movie's going to stop and you're going to need to start playing. But it's fantastic. It sort of sets the bar in that category as far as in the video game world, I would say. Anyways.
And it doesn't get oh God, I've heard this before. I've if you have to redo an action, or maybe that doesn't work, doesn't happen in video games anymore, where you die and then you have to go back and then start fresh. And then so you have to see the same cinematic portions again, or does that happen anymore in video games?
To a little extent, but I think they've done it in a way, not skip, but I think they've done it in a way where you don't have to go so far back. You know what I mean? Okay. So.
Once you heard it, you heard it.
Yeah, some production info here. 7 former Walking Dead, Fear of the Walking Dead actors provided voices for this episode. No, wait, no, they didn't, Sean. I didn't delete my notes from the last time.
Invincible.
I'm just kidding. No. It's from Invincible. Honestly, I couldn't find much production notes on here. I don't know. I don't search too much further past what IMDb provides me, but yeah.
Well, what's the synopsis?
The synopsis. When the U.S. government finally tracks them down, the off-grid Fox family flees to begin a new life.
Fox family flees.
Fox family flees. I had no idea about this show until you mentioned it on the last podcast. And after watching the trailer...
You were hooked.
As soon as I saw the trailer, I called you up or texted you and said, let's do Mosquito Coast. Hope you haven't started watching it yet. And so, yeah, let's get into it. Light Out is the name of the episode. Dun, dun, dun. Paranoia runs deep for the Foxes, if that even is the original namesake of this family.
Oh, you don't know anything. There's so many questions.
Who knows? No phones, no footprint. Living off the grid, the Foxes for 9 years have been living a different lifestyle than your typical American family. But why?
Why?
Allie Fox is clearly a highly intelligent engineer, inventing ice cube trays for the future, yet his day-to-day is oddball handyman work where he can find it. And Margot, his wife, seems to be following his lead until she feels the uncontrollable urge to reach out to her parents. Now, despite her best attempts to be elusive, the police radio scanner reveals that they have been found. Quick to pack up and leave, but not quick enough, Allie Fox is captured by the police while causing a distraction for his family's escape. Fuck him!
Yeah,
Dine it.
Yeah, get out of there. Leave him.
Fuck this guy. Dinah decides a late night booty call is not worth sacrificing your family over and rescues her family with an impromptu T-bone with her truck into the police cruiser, detaining her father.
That's my favorite T-bone, is an impromptu T-bone.
Episode done.
And by the way, you swore, and when you swore, you put a coin in the swear jar. You did swear.
I did swear. I didn't realize it. I even wrote it down.
And you read it off your piece of paper.
I did. Maybe that's why I didn't realize it. Because
just came naturally.
Well, it wasn't natural. I was reading.
You sound so natural. It's a real gift you have.
Both you know I can't read a word. Know that?
No,
Heritage Canada.
What was that? Well,
I don't know.
In Canada, they have commercials of like, you know, 60 second commercials, which is just a heritage moment. And it's people redoing like history. And then at the end, there's like a heritage moment song. And what's this one?
This one was some sort of judge or something trying to pass a law that women weren't allowed to vote or something because, I don't know, something like they couldn't read or whatever. And the woman like hands some sort of law bill or something to the guy. And he's like, Lord, you know, I can't read a word of this.
No, so the man couldn't read either.
Yeah, the man trying to pass the law about women because they were unable to.
And he couldn't read himself. Hypocrisy.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it was. It was some sort of giant hypocrisy. I probably got it all screwed up.
What is the heritage moment that I remember, which I think I was like, what? Like when Canada invented basketball. That was the big one for me. There was a heritage moment where like this PE coach was like, I don't know. And he like connected the basket up on the wall. And he's like, I'll put the ball in that basket. And it's like, that's how basketball was invented.
You fucking throw it in the hoop. Throw it in the hoop.
Everybody, I'm not touching that guy's hoop.
Old people from Canada just sound like they're from Europe.
Well, they were, weren't they?
But back in that time, everyone from the States sounded like this. Welcome to the United States. Welcome to the Confederation.
I don't know. I didn't live back then.
Oh, you didn't? How old are you?
Not telling.
Oh, it's a secret. How did you like this first episode of Mosquito Coast there, Sean?
This episode rocked, man. The whole time I was like, what is going on? But it was in a good way. Like, kept looking at my wife. She kept looking at me. We're like shrugging her shoulders. Like, what the heck?
What's going on?
What's going on? It was like, what, this guy's so smart. What's he doing? What's he doing working handyman jobs, right? And then the episode kind of goes on. You're like, okay. I was like, why is he so about, like, is he, like, super green guy? Like, what's up with his, like, no carbon footprint? But, you know, and then the episode goes on and you realize, oh, I think so. My guess is anyways that, you know, the less money they spend and the less bills they have to pay, you know, the less chance of them being located and found, right? You know?
Yeah, I wonder how much of a decision it is, like, his stubbornness to follow the man and make his own power versus like trying to just be incognito, like where that line is. Probably.
What do you mean?
Does he make his own power and live off the grid because he just doesn't want to pay the man? Like he thinks he can do it better, or is it because he's just trying to be incognito or a little bit of
like
both?
A digital footprint or whatever of him, you know,
cell phones. He was big on no cell phones.
A trail. Yeah.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Well, we still don't know after the first episode, but definitely intriguing. The acting's really good in this, hey?
Oh man, Justin was amazing. Like just there's when you could tell he's just like he's being a little bit of a character and having a lot of fun. There's a scene in the house, I think, when he's razzing his kids about his relationship with his wife, and then there's a scene I think in the truck too where he's just like maniacally laughing. Yeah, it was really a real treat to watch that, Justin.
You like Justin.
I like Justin. Do you see his abs? Justin.
Abs of steel.
I mean Justin's been doing stuff for a long time. Like the guy.
How do we know? Okay. Like what's his main other than go. He dated Jennifer Aniston. Okay. That's how I think.
And I can't remember because I didn't research as far as what came first, dating Jennifer Aniston or the HBO series, The Leftovers. I saw The Leftovers from episode one when it first aired and carried it through for all three seasons. It's an amazing show. So, and he's the main character, Kevin Garvey.
Is that
Garvey.
The one where the people disappear? Yes. Half the town? Okay. Yeah. I was, honestly, a couple days ago, I was sifting through, I was like,
what is that show called? Because I never ended up watching it. I watched like the first 10 minutes of the first episode.
That's crazy.
Way back when it came out, and then I got sidetracked or something, and I never came back to it, and then I forgot what it was called or whatever, and The Leftovers.
So Damon Lindelof is kind of like the series creator of it. You know, obviously we know him from Lost and The Watchmen. Brilliant guy. It's a really cool show. It's different. It's because each season, there were similar themes, but it almost like each season kind of had its own story, like its own kind of presence, its own character to itself. It followed very similar characters throughout the whole series, but there was like it kind of just went in a completely different direction every season, which I thought was cool. Very, very interesting show. I would definitely recommend it. And then I saw him in Wanderlust. Wanderlust, and he was like just like a side character, but very funny. I think he was in with Jennifer Aniston on that. And then the weirdest thing for me was that he was in Star Wars Episode 8, The Last Jedi. Do you remember this when they're in the casino, that stupid casino scene? And he's in it, and he's like, I don't even know if he has a line, but he's in it for like a fragment of a second. In Intermovie Database, he's called the Master Codebreaker. And I don't know, because of the whole like director debacle stuff, like if he should have had more of a role in Episode 9, but it seemed like they were setting him up for something, but it never panned out. So that's Justin for me. And now we'll get into this one. This Mosquito Coast. Maybe. I mean, maybe we won't like it. I don't know. We'll see.
I like it so far.
You like it so far.
I do. One of the few series that seems to do kids right. I think they got the kids right in this. The age seems right. They're acting. Their age seems right. I like that.
Yeah, you do. You like when the kids feel real.
I do. I like that. The part where he's talking to his wife about, I've got this new great idea. We're going to go live on a fucking barge and, sail down the river. No one can. At first you look at that, the wife, and she's kind of like taking it all in. And you think this is a turning point, maybe where she pushes back and she says, you know what? This is not a good idea.
Not living on a barge.
You're going kind of crazy here. I think you're a little gone off the deep end a bit, but then you're like, you're waiting for her to say it. And then all of a sudden she's like, you know what? I'm actually really excited about it. And you're like, oh my God, she's totally buying into it.
Or she's playing him. Cause I felt like that could be interpreted two ways. Like she's registering it. She's taking it in. And then she knows how to play him. She knows how to, like, Justin's character is obviously very intelligent, but I don't know if he picks up on he's insightful.
He's also, because he's very intelligent, I also find he's very all over the place. A little bit, right?
Yeah. A little bit of a genius savant kind of thing. So I did have some issues with some of the decisions made. You put it in your little recap there with the daughter. So the daughter to me is the character that seems the most disconnected with the family unit. Doesn't seem to have a very strong relationship with dad. Seems to have this boyfriend on the side. When it is time to leave, because they're found out by the cops, she decides not to go. And so she leaves on her own accord and goes to find, I assume, her boyfriend. She contacts grandma and grandpa. Tries to get on the bus, is intercepted by dad, and dad brings her back into the fold. She looks kind of scared. She comes with him. So then she makes this decision at the very end because dad gets caught. Dad gets put in the back of a cop car, and she makes the decision to T-bone the cop car. And to me, that wasn't justified. I didn't see that. Like, if the son had done it, I would have totally understood it. Because that's a big freaking move as a kid to T-bone a cop car.
Sure, but you didn't see her sort of moment of thought process, whatever you want to call it, when she looked in the rearview mirror and saw her dad get tased.
100%. And I would assume like that would be super hard and she would be conflicted with that and she wouldn't know what to do. But I cannot see, I don't feel like the first episode set her up as to be that personality. The son, if the son had done it and he was in that car, I would have been like, yes, he would have T-boned it, because he you saw those little instinctual things. He followed his dad. He didn't trust cops. Like, there was a part where they had met previously that cop earlier, and he said, I don't like cops. And there was an interesting conversation back and forth about that. I just didn't think, to me, that wasn't a justified action. I think that's a pretty big deal to T-bone a car. And it's just a very convenient way of doing it. And then being able to just drive away as well. Like, the truck would have been toast. If you T-bone a vehicle, people don't usually walk away from something like that.
Movie magic, Russ. Well, movie magic.
That pulls me out. If it's too,
like how
too
people
much
don't
magic.
Reload, man. People don't have to reload in movies, you know? Well, the bad ones, anyways. The
Keanu Reeves. Keanu Reeves always reloads.
Oh, man. The John Wick shit? It's crazy.
Matrix shit? He probably reloaded in that, too.
I don't know how much they reloaded in the Matrix.
So I wasn't quite sure, there was a lot. I know he really didn't like cell phones, but there was this other thing that they kept on going to, and they would put shiny things in some sort of box, this vertical box, and they would pick up some sort of receiver, and then they would dial, but it was actually physical buttons. And then they would talk to people through that.
What?
Didn't you see this? There was a couple times she was able to contact her grandparents using it, and then three times I counted it. There was this just weird. It was almost like it was for public. Like public people could just go up to this machine, put something shiny in it, and hit buttons and actually be able to contact somebody.
Now I know what you're getting at. Yeah, Russ, this was called a payphone.
A what?
A payphone. It's this device. It's a telephone, non-cellular.
Yeah, no, I have a telephone. I listen to music and make videos off it.
Right, but these ones had actually wires, and they were wired into the telephone network back in the day.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't believe it. And through electronic signals and fluctuation, it's able to process your sound waves and then reproduce them on the other end when someone's got, an amplifier. You know, you've got a microphone on one end and an amplifier on the other end. And yeah, it was fucking magic, man.
And they have these things all over, in 2021.
They used to.
Maybe in 1991.
Okay.
But I don't really know if they exist in 2020. Like
they might
many.
Still exist down in nowhere. Though,
is that so. Where this took place?
I don't know. I was trying to think, where did this take place?
I don't know, but
I think my kid's crying.
Oh, hang on.
Hey, shut up! Oh, she really is crying.
Oh, usually it's okay to tell your kids to shut up if they're not really upset. Then it's fine.
Right, if they're not upset and then just as a joke, try to cheat. Right,
yeah, tell them whatever you want.
Right.
Uh-oh. Do you need to go do something about that?
Yeah, hang on a second. Okay. Russ, tell them a story.
Yeah, you bet. So Sean and I used to have lots of sleepovers at his house when we were in grade 6, 7, 8, 9. And the reason why Sean says shut up to his kids is because Sean's dad used to say shut up to him all the time. And it hurt Sean. And it was hard for me to be a visitor in his house and hear his dad just tell him to shut up all the time. And that was hard. And that was hard for Sean. And that's the end of the story. Welcome back.
Perfect. Great timing. Yeah. Like I said in the last one, it's kind of this game we play called Kick 'Em Down the Stairs. And
the game your wife was playing with the kids, and that's why they were crying?
No. That's how you get them to stop crying. At least you get them out of microphone range. It's called Kick 'Em Down the Stairs. When they're in the range of the microphone, you just kick them down the stairs.
No kids were harmed in the making of this podcast.
No kids were harmed in the making of this podcast. Actually, I don't know. I don't know what my wife is doing downstairs with them right now. She could be hurting them. Christ. She could be hurting them.
Okay. No more physical violence against children jokes, please.
Okay. You said you had a problem with the girl T-boning him. I didn't have much of a problem with anything in this show, but I found the cop sort of stopping and questioning them midday while this kid's helping his dad, will be like, why aren't you in school? And blah, blah.
Yeah.
does that happen? I don't know. I don't think so. I think a cop sees a kid out with his parental figure or whatever. They don't really say, why aren't you in school? You
know, I would have said, like, what's in the cylinders? Like, what? Like, I would have been, like, if she was going to be curious and a little aggressive with them, why target the whole why aren't you in school aspect? Why aren't you just, yeah, exactly. What's in the cylinders in the truck? Like, what are you guys doing here? Like, that would have been more of a line of questioning that I would have kind of got behind. But yes, it was, it seemed weird. It seemed like almost like we've got to introduce the fact that this kid's homeschooled. So why don't we have, I don't know. It just,
it was a more scene of a plot device. I don't know. For the point of the show. And it didn't really, it's like, I don't know. I don't know. I don't see that happening in day to day real life.
Yeah.
But again, I don't see a typical American family running from the US government in day to day life either.
Yeah.
So who knows, right?
So you had mentioned that this was a film. This was a novel.
Harrison Ford, 1986 film, yes.
There you go, exactly. Helen Mirren was, I believe, the wife. I just saw that she was in it, too. I didn't actually see the movie. Also, the Phoenix, the river. The River Phoenix,
River of the Phoenix.
Was the son. I kind of looked at the synopsis of the movie because I've heard that this show is a lot different. So I think it was fine. So I kind of, and it was a very, my understanding from reading the synopsis of the movie is that Harrison family decides to uproot his family and move them to Mexico on his own accord. So it's just his decision because he's tired of working under the man and he just wants to run his own society. Where this is different. This show is different. It's introducing this kind of like,
They're running from something.
And I guess, you know, to build the intensity and the kind of sitting on the edge of your seat thriller aspect of the show, which is interesting. But I don't know what he did. What do you think he did?
I don't know.
Steal energy? Steal petroleum? What did Doc do?
I don't know. I think maybe he worked at some sort of secret government research / think tank.
Okay.
And he saw something he wasn't supposed to. Right. And then he either sabotaged it or what he was working on. Or I think more fitting would be that he stole something. He stole some sort of research and they're running with it. Because if he just sabotaged it, they would just arrest him and blah, blah, blah. You know, but when near the end of the episode, when the police ransack the house, they're not just searching for them. They're searching for something.
Yes.
Right.
So
he's stolen something or she's stolen something or they were in it together. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Again, I don't know because they're not vocalizing anything to their children in this episode. So us as the audience aren't learning anything either from them. That's another point I want to bring, like what how much do the kids really know? And I think that's why maybe that's why you're having a hard time with Dina's decision at the end, but at the same time you know, how much of was she really taking it seriously until the very end when she saw her dad get tased? Like, she was taking it seriously.
So you think she knows enough that she knows that her dad's going into jail forever, maybe even executed, who knows? So she knew that it was either now or nothing. Like, she knows enough for that. Like,
I think she feels that now, but did she feel that sort of, you know...
Maybe she just didn't have the buy-in earlier in the episode to do this radical move.
The whole episode, they had to sort of hit home to her, like, remember the rules, remember this, no phone, blah, blah. And, you know, and she's like, come on, we can do this. I'm a dad. Come on, I'm a fucking teenager. Yeah, I want to get my groove on, dad.
I got a boyfriend.
I got a boyfriend.
Another behavior thing I wasn't quite... okay with was his, so Justin's dad, they realize the cops have caught on to them. They've all got to leave the house very quickly. It's kind of like a mad rush of everyone get out of the house. There's a destination. Suddenly they realize the daughter's taken off. So they got to bring the daughter. He said, I'll be back by midnight or whatever to his wife and his son. If I'm not here, leave without me. It's this huge rush. Obviously very important. The cops are all over the town looking for him. He finds her in the bus stop. And he just strolls in and he sits down beside her and he just takes it easy. He's just chill. He's just like, hey, how you doing? And I, in a child behavior way, I understand that approach in regards to like, to kind of bring her back into the fold. But as far as like a suspenseful moment, the cops are coming for you. You got to get the fuck out of here. I didn't understand how he could be so calm.
Like, I think, I don't know, the way I interpreted it was, is that she was already so raging and upset enough to leave and do the whole bus station thing and call grandma and grandpa, that if he went in there in a
100%, yeah, very strategic. That
if he went in there in a fit of rage, it would have just pissed her off more and she would have maybe ran away. So he's just like, listen, I've got to kind of, I got to level with you.
I agree. That was the best approach for sure. I wanted to maybe see him struggle with that a little bit more. Like it just can't, it just seemed like, it just seemed too easy. And then when the, and then again, the cops show up, he like, okay, you need to, you know, he puts on her hood and he's like, you need to go out here. Here's the car. Here's the truck keys. Get out of here. Go meet mom. And it just seems like, I don't know. To me, it almost just seemed like he gave up all too easily. And only works because she T-boned the cops and saved him. But it, and to me that, again, I've already talked about that. I don't feel like that is a good mix with her character. I just, that I guess that whole little bit there just didn't really 100% work with for me.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Still.
Maybe he had some sort of alternate plan. You know, that if he got, maybe that if he got caught.
Maybe.
Or maybe at that point it was just like, I got to get my wife and Charlie free. Like that's again, that's something like, I wonder if this has something to do with Charlie, their youngest son. Mm. As the wife said they had been running for about 9 years now. I figure the daughter's probably 17. He's, let's say he's 2 years younger than him. He's 15, maybe 14. So they've been on the run since this guy was about 5 or 6 years old.
Okay.
Just trying to sort of figure things out here before episode 2, I guess, or until we actually learn what's going on. But, you know, pretty young kid. I don't know. Maybe. Maybe they stole Charlie. Maybe Charlie's the stolen asset.
He's like a clone.
Yeah, I don't think so. But no. I don't know. I don't know.
I think.
Yeah, that, I got my prediction. What was your prediction?
Well, I think. I don't know. I read about the book and I read about the synopsis of the movie. So I know kind of where they're headed. You know, I know that ice machine is probably going to come in handy. Again, the fact that he was learning how to speak Spanish within the first few minutes of the show, that's obviously going to come in handy. I don't know. I don't have any predictions. What are your predictions?
I gave it already. Remember, said
all right.
He worked in a government research think tank.
Right. Okay,
saw something, stole something.
Okay,
he's got something they want, obviously.
Okay.
Okay, you ready to rate it?
Oh, sorry. No, I just want to talk about one more thing.
Yeah.
Nope, let's rate it.
No. Why? No,
I'm going to bring it up during Thelma and Louise.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, dude.
This shit is awesome.
That was me making up my own song.
Do.
I got the new jingle.
I'll just do this do here, so Sean knows to put the jingle there.
Got the new jingle.
Thank God you did the do. Do the do. That's where it came from.
Do the do.
Do the do. Oh, yeah, you go first. Wait, just tell everybody the rating system real quick.
Oh, yeah, so what we do, guys, is we rate the episode out of 5 jarps. 1 is usually not very good. The higher it goes, the better it is. 5 means it's like, you know, changed your life. So I'm giving this a 3. I love the characters. I love the pace of the show. I thought it looked really nice. There was a lot of things that I'm interested in to see where it goes. Love the fact that he's living off the grid and all the cool things he's doing to create biodiesel and all that kind of stuff. So definitely I'm into it. I'll definitely watch more. And if it continues or gets better, then I'll see it through for sure.
Cool. We're a little different on this one. I went quite a bit higher than you. Okay. I gave it a 4.5, actually. Ooh, wow. I really liked it. Yeah. I really liked it. I was able to separate myself from some of those little hitches, or maybe they just didn't stand out to me as much as they did to you. But I thought the writing and the acting were top notch. And shit, man, they got the kids right. Huge. That's bonus points.
Big thing for Sean. Big thing.
Big bonus points. The whole episode, I was curious and intrigued about what was going on, even though we got very little details by the end of the episode. I watched this 10 days ago, and it's actually been killing me having to wait this whole time. Can't wait to finish tonight's podcast so that me and the wife can continue on. And to me, I think that's the makings of a good show. You know what I mean? Like, it's been 10 days, and I really want to watch episode 2. So that's why it got such a high score for me.
Nice.
The first episode, anyways. We'll see. Hopefully it keeps up, but we shall see.
Do
you feel like you want to throw up?
Okay.
Temperature check. This is the part where we kind of go back and update you on the shows that we've reviewed in the past. Russ is making us go back now and complete the ones that we don't like.
Just for you listeners. You're welcome.
Just for us. So, Russ, you will be pleasantly surprised to know that I did not watch one but two episodes of 30 Coins.
HBO Europe's 30 Coins series. Amazing. That is great. I want to know everything. Tell me.
Between recordings here, I squeezed in two for you.
Wow.
Two. I'm trying good to find you. The episode notes here.
And they're obviously getting better and better.
No. No, not really. One episode was her husband came back, and he was a...
Her husband came back. Who is her?
Her, the vet. The vet.
Oh, the vet has a husband. The vet,
yeah. Who had been missing.
Oh, of course.
He'd actually been killed by another town's member.
He'd been killed, but he's killed and missing.
But nobody knew that he was killed. Everyone thought the only guy that knew that he was killed was the guy that killed
him. How did he come back if he was killed?
Well, he was a scarecrow that some old woman resurrected with a bucket of blood and some language.
Latin. I'm assuming it's Latin.
I'm sure. Something like that. So he came back to life, and him and his wife kind of reconnected, but he was sort of off, a little strange.
Yeah, a little scarecrowish.
Yeah, and it ended up that this old lady was sort of puppeteering him the whole time. It wasn't really him.
Oh, shit.
And Hot Mayor had to come and save the vet.
Paco.
By the end of the episode, they were hanging off a bridge, and her husband was like the last one, you know, on the chain, and he was hanging on her ankle, and she had to kick him in the face. And he like exploded into dust and straw. Shit. Yeah, back to dust. And then the next episode was the priest has now traveled to Italy to visit, to have a one-on-one with the Pope about everything.
Oh, he's telling the Pope. It's going right to the top.
Yeah. He got a meeting with the Pope.
Good.
And within this Pope, he ends up reconnecting with an old priest friend from school that went missing after meeting the devil, and that episode sucked big time. They all suck big time. But
what are there more coins? Is the introduction?
No,
of,
there. No, there's still,
never been any more coins.
No, well,
no, we're close to 30.
Not within these people. Okay. Every now, I think you've gotten one or two other scenes where the Matrix looking priest with the sunglasses picked up a coin, but it hasn't been a challenge. You know, they've been like in some secret vault that, you know, he's been sort of escorted to, and they've opened up the vault and here, take it. You know, it's not been like this where they've had to track.
So he's slowly acquiring the coins.
I believe so. Yeah. And they're still trying to get this one single coin from Elena, the vet, who's
the
still. No, she threw it. No. Yeah, she threw it off the bridge.
You love this show.
Yeah, she threw it off the bridge. Oh, my God. This is it. They threw it off the bridge. Some fucking fish ate it.
No, it didn't.
Yeah, it did. A fish fucking ate it, and someone caught the fish.
And then
it was an exotic fish.
Some Smeagol shit there.
Yeah. And then this rich guy from Elena's town who was on vacation went to some fish joint, and they've got the fish with the coin, and he picked it for dinner. He's like, oh, that one. It's got the coin in it. And then the episode ended because before they alluded, they're like, oh, if the coin wants you, it will make its way back to you somehow, you know? So fuck, it jumped in a fish and now it's jumping through this guy's stuff. I don't know. What's he going to do? Eat this fucking fish and then go back to the town. He's going to have like this massive bout of diarrhea or something like that. It's like, I don't know what to do. And the doctor's going to be like on vacation or something. He's like, I better gotta call Elena, the vet. And the vet's gonna come. She's gonna come.
She's gonna diarrhea in her face.
Yeah, he's gonna like explode and fucking, yeah, because this shit's gory. You know what's gonna happen. His stomach's gonna like explode right in front of her. She's gonna be covered in shit and blood and fuck. And then like the coin's gonna drip down her. Her fecal smeared forehead. Yeah, her forehead, and she's gonna be like, "Oh, the fucking coin!" And then that's how episode 7's gonna end.
You should write an episode of 30 coins. That was amazing,
wasn't it?
Yeah, that was good.
It is good.
I
Shadow and Bones.
I did do episode 2, and I now I'm regretting committing to the show, but it was okay. It was fine. It just, I feel maybe it's not made for me. But so the, one of the predictions I had was I was wondering how much the show was going to sit with the fact that she had killed her whole cryptography team.
Right.
And they did. And there was exactly what I thought. There was like a moment of like, of reflection when she
remember
was like,
them.
Yeah, I was like, oh no, I killed them. And then within like seconds, it's like, but you're the big magic girl now. And she's like, oh yeah, I'm the big magic girl now. And then she just
something comes out of my vagina.
I don't think that was right.
Oh. I wanted to ask it, and we didn't talk about it. The boats, they're on boats that fly.
The boats. Oh yeah. How did they do that? There was no water, was it? In through the fold.
No, the boats were, they were on boats that would go in
magic. Well, maybe the elemental water,
but they just floated. And
maybe
I thought,
the magic users used the air to like keep them up or something like that.
Oh, I was hoping maybe you'd be able to shed some.
No, I didn't pay attention to that. There was a lot of kind of unnecessary action sequences in the second episode, just to like show like the action sequence was not justified at all, but they just wanted to show like how this general, this Ben Barnes character, has all this power. He should have been there. He chose not to be, only so they could attack and then he could come in halfway through and show how powerful he was. It was just a little bit silly. Yeah, I'm not looking forward to it. So
did her boyfriend survive?
Yes. So okay. Mal and so the two lovers, they're not together because now she's gone back to the general so she can train and she can like harness her power, and he's left kind of on the outs. I mean, if they had been allowed to have a 5-minute conversation, they would have been able to like work out what's going on and they would have been okay with it. And then they'd be like, okay, I'll call you, or, you know, I'll use a payphone, or I'll send you a carrier pigeon later. And it would be great. But he didn't allow her, for some reason, there was no time for them to talk. So they had to like whisk her away in a carriage. And meanwhile, she's like banging on the window going, help, help. And, or Mal, Mal. And Mal's like, oh my God, Elena. And then so his whole arc is like, I got to get to her. But really she's fine. Like she's just in a house being protected so she can summon her.
But he doesn't know that.
But I mean, it would have been, you know, if they had been able to have a nice 10-minute conversation, things would have been.
Then he'd be like, be able to be like, oh, she's fine. I'm just going to.
She's actually more safer where she is now than she would have been with me. I'll just continue doing my life and we'll check in with each other, you know, a few days.
Sounds good.
But it's not the case. I'll let you know. Shadow and Bones episode 3 is coming up next for me.
Boop-a-boop. Media Rewind. This is a part where we try and pair our podcast selection with a movie from our childhood, something that hopefully me and Russ watched together growing up, or at least was around that era. Anyways, this week we picked the oldie but goodie again. I guess temperature checks are always oldies now.
And always goodies, really.
Some are not. Sometimes
I don't know. Not. You're right.
Actually, I can't think of a temperature.
Some are
check.
Gooder than others.
Oh no! Wait, what didn't hold up? Something didn't hold.
Serpent and the Rainbow didn't really hold up for me. When we watched,
there was
it.
One of them that really didn't hold up, and I don't remember what it is. Anyways, but yeah, no, these are normally good because, you know, we've seen these already. So why would we pick a shitty one, right? Anyways, so we picked. I picked Thelma and Louise this week, and what a great. Great, great, great movie to go back and revisit.
And the honest truth of it, Sean, is I don't know if I've actually ever seen this movie before.
I know there's the odd person that's maybe seen bits of it.
Right,
or,
and
you
I
know,
think that was for me. Like, I couldn't tell you. I could tell you that Brad Pitt was in it, and I could tell you they fly off a cliff. but I couldn't tell you anything more about
that. Was
it.
Like my wife too. I don't think she'd seen it, but she knew the ending, and I was right. hoping she didn't know the ending and we could have a bit of a conversation about it, and we did. Yeah. but she wasn't surprised by the ending. So
you talked
to
your wife
to remember about- I'm trying to remember the first time I watched this movie. And I think at the ending, I think my reaction, I was a little kind of thrown back at the end. I'm trying to remember my initial reaction. I imagine it was
you didn't understand like, why what? They made that choice. You're like,
probably not bad? So much because, you know, 91, we were only 13 years old back then. So
do men suck that much? Yeah. Yeah, they do.
Yeah. Back then, they sure did, didn't they?
They probably still do.
For anyone who hasn't seen Thelma and Louise, quick synopsis, two best friends set out on an adventure, but it soon turns around to be a terrifying escape from being hunted by the police as these two girls escape for the crimes that they committed.
And this time we know what crimes they committed.
Yeah, that's not quite... It should be more like, I don't know, running from the cops as they survived horrific... Yeah.
Men being shitty.
I don't know. Yeah, like you survived a rape and decided to give this guy what he deserved, and for that they became wanted fugitives. Yeah. No, just put you in a rock and a hard because they did the right thing, but it was obviously according to the law, it's the wrong thing.
Right.
So you're a little, I don't know, I wasn't conflicted the whole time, no. but in a sense it's that flip side, you know, you're essentially cheering, I don't want to say cheering for the bad guy, but, you know, we're cheering for the criminals in this movie, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, the anti-hero, right? You know, that modern drama is all about the anti-hero. But I think they do the show does a good job, and obviously they did a good job then, and it feels like it's still justified now. I don't know how much the Me Too movement plays into it, where you're like, yeah, fuck yeah, don't put up with this bullshit. And even just watching Cape Fear recently and knowing that Cape Fear is all about the idea of like Robert De Niro's character, you know, only being, you know, not getting the full sentence or probably not even getting the amount of jail time that he did if it was known that the female was, had slept with multiple partners. So the fact that they can use that against somebody to say that they deserved being raped or that it wasn't, you know, that they have fault in that is terrible. And then so you see this again and then you see that conversation between Thelma and Louise as well. It's like, you know, I think you would have never got away with it because everyone saw you dancing with him in the bar, you know? So
I mean, we know at the end of the movie through details that something happened to Louise in Texas. They don't say exactly what it was, but I believe she was raped in Texas.
Right.
And she came forward, obviously, because the police detective was able to locate details about it. So obviously something was reported, right? There was some, whether or not anybody was prosecuted or anything is left to be, but she obviously reported something. And I mean, I think obviously nothing came of it, right? Or, you know, it was all flipped back on her. You're promiscuous. You got what you deserved. You know, horrible stigmas. So
that's why she's speaking from experience and she can really say,
I believe so. And that's why the whole time she's like, we got to get out. Like cops aren't going to do shit for us.
Right.
You know, they're just going to look at it as, you know, manslaughter at least, you know? So, yeah.
Yeah.
Supposedly this went through about 40 different directors before Ridley Scott was just going to executive produce it. And then he finally caved and decided to direct it. And sure enough, he gets a nod for best director. He didn't win, but he got a nod. So obviously, Ridley, maybe next time, rather than making them go through 40 candidates and everyone saying you're the guy for the job, just do it, man. Just do it. Save everyone the hassle. You know what you're doing.
What's Ridley's next project? You know?
Is
he working on another Aliens film or something like that?
I don't know. Do you know he did the Raised by Wolves on HBO?
I think he produced that, which
he's involved with it.
Yeah. He might have actually...
He's old now. He might only have time to, you know, produce a little bit here, write a little bit there. But I'm sure he's directing.
Got a lot of stuff in the can.
Does he?
Well, as far as a producer. Like, he's got maybe, like, 7 credits announced as producer.
Give us some stuff that's after Raised by Wolves.
Okay. What is this? Am I? Oh, I am on producer right now. Okay. Oh my God. After Raised by Wolves, and for some reason he is not
like current stuff.
Yeah. So okay. Let me give you announced Gladiator 2.
No. What?
Announced Blade Runner Black Lotus TV series.
Ooh. Okay, that could be cool. Blade Runner TV series could be cool.
You ever heard of Empire of the Sun?
It's one of my favorite movies of all time.
Have you ever heard of Empire of the Summer Moon? That's no. Pre-production. I don't know what that means. But he's a producer on that. He's got a lot of stuff on the go. An Alien TV series? Interesting. Okay, here's Raised by Wolves. Jeez, that was just buried underneath all these freaking credits he's got going on right now. He's got a lot going on, that man.
Crazy.
That man. A great headshot in Internet Movie Database. He looks nice. Like kind of like a Bryan Cranston meets Clint Eastwood in his Internet Movie Database
shot. What are the chances that two brothers growing up together both become, I mean, obviously they've got the creative juices runs within the family, but I'm talking about Ridley Scott and Tony Scott. Yeah. What are the chances of two of them become like super, like Ridley and Tony both like, probably really a little bit earlier in the 70s came to light a little bit quicker than Tony, but still like very predominant directors, both directed some of the most iconic movies in history. And here they are, two brothers, you know. Yeah. That's pretty cool, man.
That's very cool. Well, his brother did True Romance, one show movie that we've covered on this podcast.
And I was going to say that this movie's got a very, while directed by Ridley, this movie feels almost like a Tony Scott movie to me. It definitely looks like a Tony Scott movie.
I didn't get that feel.
It's got that that glaze, that Tony Scott glaze.
The filter, the Tony Scott filter?
Yeah, like the storytelling glaze. This is a story book. You know what I mean? Like it's not, this isn't supposed to be a piece of reality. This is a story. I love that glaze kind of look filter that they use. I don't know what it is. Diffusion. Come on, Sean.
In a movie full of terrible men, it seems surprising that one of the only good men was played by Michael Madsen.
Yeah.
He's not known for playing good guys.
And a tolerable Michael Madsen, and barely tolerable. I mean, he's
so funny. Yeah, he's such.
He's so funny in a sense that, like, he's cringe, man. Yeah. Like, I have a hard time. I'm just like.
I told you. Yeah. I love you, Luis.
Are you going to stand there and bark all day, little doggy, or are you gonna bite? It's like, holy shit, can you stretch this scene out any longer, man? Like,
but he was obviously loved. You know, he's loved by Tarantino uses him over and over again. He did the circuit. People enjoyed his
Shooter McGavin being Shooter McGavin.
Oh, I love Shooter McGavin. Love
Christopher McDonald.
Yeah, love this. As soon as I knew realized he was in it, I was like, great.
Yeah.
Give me more Shooter McGavin. And he's a busy worker, man. He works hard. He's constantly working right now.
Yeah, not the leading man, but you know, you got to work extra hard when you're sort of the supporting characters, right? But
great to see Harvey Keitel.
Yeah.
You don't like Harvey?
No, I don't mind him, but he's just.
I like him. I don't know. Yeah, I like him.
I don't know.
And cool to see a young Brad Pitt in here.
Yeah, cool piece of trivia I found. You're going to sneeze? You look like you're going to sneeze.
No.
You're trying not to sneeze.
I'm just listening.
You're trying not to sneeze.
Achoo!
Why are you upside down? Why are you pinching your penis? What's going on here? I don't think that works.
Pinching my penis?
Jeez, always.
How do you stop sneezing? I go upside down, I pinch my penis, and my sneeze works. Goes inside. I don't sneeze.
Before Brad Pitt was cast, the role went to Billy Baldwin. Then he ended up dropping out. George Clooney tried to get the role of JD multiple times, was rejected. Mark Ruffalo auditioned, didn't get it. Christian Slater auditioned, almost got it. Eventually, supposedly the role went to Robert Downey Jr., but then Ridley Scott deemed that he was too short next to Gina Davis. Gina, or is it Gina?
It's definitely not Gina.
Gina.
Is it Nina or Nina?
Gina.
Someone's that's my, in the kitchen with Gina.
It's my alter ego when I try and get my girls to bed.
It's Gina.
Jesus. Gina.
You say, it's me, Gina.
Dad.
No, dad's gone.
They're like, it's Gina Davis. I was like, actually, it's Gina. It's Gina Davis. Okay. Yeah, but Robert Downey Jr. did not match well to Gina Davis, and then Brad Pitt got the part.
I think
and
I
then,
saw that Gina Davis really advocated for Brad Pitt to get the part,
I'm
too.
Sure, like she did, because rumor is she divorced Jeff Goldblum on the final day of production. I guess she was pretty woozy over Brad Pitt.
Oh, and interesting.
I don't think they ever dated. Maybe they did. Who knows? Maybe they hooked up. But obviously she was wooed enough that she had had enough of Jeff Goldblum by the end of filming Thelma and Louise.
The last person ever to say that about Jeff Goldblum.
Peace out, Jeff Goldblum. You deserved it. You suck.
Whoa, hardcore. I
hate Jeff Goldblum.
You hate Jeff Goldblum?
I don't like the guy. Yeah, no, no, no. You like fucking, him?
Yeah, of course I do. Like, freaking... Jurassic Park.
I know what movies he's in.
Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah, this is why no. I don't like him.
Oh my God.
Jeff. I don't know. I just, he's the same. He's like Billy Crystal and the chick from the Mighty Ducks. Like you hire Jeff, you get Jeff Goldblum. That's like, oh.
Yeah.
Like the character is Jeff Goldblum and he's just got to fit in your movie.
Yeah. He's amazing. He's awesome.
Yeah. If you want to call that acting, I guess it's just.
He's just a personality, man. He's, yeah. I don't know. I would.
Okay, back to the freeze frame of Thelma and Louise. And they've driven off the fucking cliff. Yeah. It's freeze frame. I want them to freeze frame it 10 seconds later. Now they're going off this cliff. They're going hang 10, like into the Grand Canyon. It's probably going to take them like 15 seconds. A good free fall down this canyon before they impact. Right. So they've got all this fucking time to think about, oh shit, we're gonna die.
You want to see that on their face?
I want to see 5 seconds later after this where Susan Sarandon turns to Gina and she's like, oh my God, I can't believe you made me fucking do this. And she's like strangling her to death. Oh, and they're just screaming in absolute, oh my God, we're gonna fucking die, we're gonna die. And they should freeze frame just before the fucking impact.
And the theater is silent.
Yeah. Do you want to blow us away in the theater? People be like, what the fuck?
What did I just watch?
Yeah. They're just like total. Like, oh my God, we just killed ourselves. We're going to fucking die. Ah! And I can see her like strangling Gina Davis so that she actually dies before impact.
No.
And she's like, oh God, what have I done? It's like, this is the longest free fall ever.
Is this,
yeah, they is won't this, even have, they'll run out of breath screaming before they actually die. And I want to see that. I want to see that.
You want to see that? You want to see that? That's amazing.
No, but that's like, let's be real here, Ridley. Come on.
Oh, yeah.
Let's not free. Hey, we're going to hold hands, smile. Yay, we're dying.
Give me a kiss. Let's go.
No, yeah, no, show me. Freeze it. Give me another 5 seconds and then freeze frame it. I think the freeze frame is going to look significantly different.
As soon as the car goes off the cliff and doesn't just tank. Because isn't that the thing with cars with the engines in the front? Like with the whole like Dukes of Hazzard, they had to put the actual engine in the center of the car in order for it to actually like.
Yeah, when, and it's when been they drove stripped it off. Out of right. All the heavy. You know, it's just a bare bones skeletal kit
so
car.
Similar
right?
With this car, like it actually like, it goes far. Like they drive it off that cliff and it goes like it coasts out there, which
she,
I think
she
is.
She put her foot right down to the floor, Russ.
Oh, man.
That's fast.
Didn't they see Harvey Keitel trying to tell him to stop?
Yeah, stop!
Stop!
Well, I mean, come on. They were, I don't know, almost 40, I think they were supposed to be in this movie. Let's be real. Okay. They're probably in their 40s already. But in the their movie characters, almost 40. And what? They were up for at least 20 years in jail. So they were going to be old birds by the time they got out of jail.
Okay. Sure.
So, I don't know. Like, what? I don't know. I don't know about their decision to do that. And it,
I think it I just know. Speaks to the feet, to like the hopelessness they feel they're not going to give, they're not going to be justified. They're not going to be like prosecuted fairly. They feel
like if they go in, the man wins. Right?
They're not going to be tried fairly.
Right.
They feel like they probably don't even feel like they have a choice. They probably just, they feel like they've gone too far, you know?
Because when you look at it, it's quite sad that that was the only, the last option that those two women felt they had was right. to throw themselves off a cliff.
Yeah.
Harsh, man.
Yeah, I've seen Orange is the New Black. I mean, it's pretty cool in prison. okay, so I think both shows, Thelma and Louise and Mosquito Coast, rely on the police being somewhat incompetent, because both times that they're driving completely distinguishable vehicles, like they're driving a 1966 T-Bird. Like, it doesn't make any sense why this show, this
top
movie,
down, right?
Where the two women driving in these like weird communities of the States. Like, why wouldn't they have been found within the first 20 minutes? You've got like, I don't know how many FBI agents, police officers sitting in the house for who knows why they need eight people sitting in a house waiting for a phone call, when obviously they could have got on the radio. They could have told every police officer in every county. They could have had some FBI agents looking for them. Like, why could, how come they could find Brad Pitt, but they couldn't find Thelma and Louise in a freaking T-Bird convertible? Like, that doesn't make any sense. And plus, same with like Mosquito Coast. How come they couldn't find a two-door pickup with a beige hood and a dark blue body running off biodiesel? Like, there's no way these cars.
I don't know. But Brad Pitt, he had no reason to hide. He wasn't really hiding out. Yeah, he was a drifter and stuff. But like, when he's like hitching for rides and shit like that, he's like,
he just stole
way out in the wide
thousands
open.
Of dollars off them. He has a reason to hide.
True.
It was just convenient. It's convenient. Well, we got a two-hour movie. They got to drive for two
Russell.
Hours. Well, exactly.
They got to make it to the end somehow.
Right. Yeah.
But even him getting caught didn't do anything. It didn't progress the story at all.
I think it gave the audience an ability to see Harvey Keitel's character be a little bit more sympathetic, like
a little more compassion.
Yeah, you're like, oh, gee. So I think in that way, you're thinking, oh, okay. I think they would be trialed with a little bit of equity.
That was the scene where he. Oh, sorry.
No. Yeah, go ahead.
That was the scene where Harvey Keitel mentioned that Louise had something happen in Texas or whatever like that. Yeah.
Or I think during a phone call, she calls him and she says, I know when during a phone call that he says, like, I know what happened in Texas or whatever. But he does explain, he's like, I know you stole money. Do you think if you hadn't stolen that money, they would have robbed that bank? If I catch you again, like, he was very much like, you screwed them. You put them in this situation.
Yeah.
And so you're like, oh, okay. So Harvey Keitel's on their side. Like, he's going to catch them and he's going to take care of them. But obviously that, and I guess you as an audience are meant to believe that's going to happen throughout the court. Right. Like, here's the other good male in this movie and he's going to do the right thing, but he never gets to that point. Yeah. And he probably might have not been able to do anything for him anyways. Who knows? The system is messed.
They should just rename the movie and call it Thelma's Bad Decisions.
Thelma makes some
bad choice.
She makes some bad decisions.
She makes a lot of bad decisions.
She makes some bad decisions. But she's also...
she's free for the first time. You can't really blame her. You know what I mean? She's essentially been a prisoner in her own house.
Terrible husband.
Since she was, you know, dating this dick since she was 14.
But she also should be able to go to a pub and have fun. You should be able to go to a pub, dance with a guy, and not feel like you're going to be raped. So that's not a bad decision. She's justified in being able to do that. It's just unfortunate that this gentleman is not a gentleman at all.
Right.
It's a shitty, shitty world that Thelma and Louise had to.
Harsh, cool movie. Some really memorable scenes in it, but the underlying theme and tones of it are kind of serious. Well, not kind of, they are serious.
Yeah, 100%.
I like it. It's sort of, well, more than like it. I really like the movie. It's got that glossy Hollywood thing, but it's also, I don't know, is it making a statement or is it just telling a shitty story.
I think it's making a statement. There's definitely statements there for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
For sure. And it's up to your in
girl
interpretation.
Power. Oh. Is it? Oh, is, a bit of girl power, no?
100%. Spice up your life. Stop right now. Thank you very much. I need somebody with a human touch. Hey, you. Don't you come around, gonna hurt somebody, gonna have some fun.
All we together. Yeah, if you haven't seen Thelma and Louise, go back down the rabbit hole and give it a good watch. It's a great, great, great movie.
Good show.
Now we're at the part, stargazing. We're just to tie up the show here. We just talk about some things we're watching, some things we're interested in. I got a lot of shitty horror movies on my docket.
Okay, here. Let's go. Let's hear it.
Army of the Dead, new Zack Snyder on Netflix.
Oh, wow.
Sucks.
Well, Zack Snyder sucks.
Hard pass.
Yeah.
Hard pass, Army of the Dead.
Yeah.
A couple old ones. I was told to watch this old sort of horror movie called Green Room about a punk rock band doing an oddball gig kind of out in this remote sort of white supremacist area. And yeah, it's a story about them basically trying to escape. That one is not bad. Not bad. What's his name? Anton Yenchin. Sure. That young actor that was unfortunately killed a couple of years ago in a car accident in Vancouver, I believe. Oh, geez. I'm not sure. He was pinned against a car or something like that. Nice, good young actor taken from us too early. I started watching that show Panic on Amazon Prime. It's like a
It looks like a teen horror movie. It like
kind of is.
I saw the trailer. I was like, oh, that's terrible. That looks terrible.
Yeah, it is terrible. Yeah, just don't bother. That's just shitty thing. Yeah. I am excited for, I'm not quite sure when it's happening, but supposedly Yellowstone season 4 starts up in June sometime. June starts this week. So, yeah, but there was a movie coming out and it's like a Paramount exclusive.
Oh, with Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, and I saw Paramount the Infinites or something like that. Yeah. I don't know. It looks kind of cool. Like an action movie anyway. Summer action movie.
Yeah.
But then I see it's like Paramount Plus, like the Disney Plus. Remember, didn't we talk about earlier and you said you think Paramount's coming up with their own streaming platform?
Well, I think they have their own network, so yeah, I think that makes sense. They've got a lot of they've got a catalog of films and Yellowstone.
So yeah, I don't know how we're gonna watch if this Paramount streaming service is gonna be available to us Canadians or how I'm gonna be able to watch Yellowstone, but where there's a will, there's a way. Russ, what the heck watching?
What's I'm gonna start a new segment called Trailer Talk. It's where I talk about trailers, film trailers. Two trailers dropped since last time we spoke, Sean. One is the Eternals, Marvel's Eternals. So looking forward to that. I get the feeling it's not, like you watch it and it doesn't feel like the same type of presence that a Marvel movie would usually come at you with. Like it doesn't seem like there's a lot of action. It seems very majestic and beautiful and kind of like a lot of rich history going on here. Obviously directed by Chloe Zhao, who just won, an Academy Award. I'm looking forward to that. I hope it's everything that it should be. And really neat to see these creatures and introduce them into the Marvel universe. And also that last night in Soho, the trailer dropped.
Our man Edgar Wright.
Yeah, Edgar Wright. And starring Anya Taylor-Joy, Jesse May Lee, who is in that Shadow and Bone, Matt Smith, a few others. Not what I was expecting at all.
Yeah, it seems like almost
like a horror thriller. Movie.
Yeah.
Not what I'm expecting from the guy who did Shaun of the Dead or Hot Fuzz or any of those things. So super interested. I can't wait to see that film. It almost looked cheesy. It almost looked cheesy, but I have faith in Edgar Wright and everybody involved. But it did feel a little cheesy, but I'm sure it was going to be great.
Oh, I'm excited for...
That's Trailer Talk.
Oh, yeah. You want to talk about Trailer Talk? I'm adding to it. Trailer Talk. A Quiet Place, Part 2. Of course,
Part 2, yes.
John Krasinski's. Did you see the first one?
I saw the first one. Very good. Yes, so good.
So, yeah, this trailer looks good. Looks good.
Emily Blunt.
I'm not a big fan of him anymore because he's really gone downhill, but M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong's Old, there's a trailer just broke out for that. Looks kind of different, about a secret beach that a family makes it to, which accelerates their aging process. Within hours, their kids turn into teenagers or some shit like that. It looks creepy. But you know, M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong. There'll be some sort of Shyamalan Ding Dong at the end. There'll be a Shyamalan Ding Dong at the end. And it just...
A little just like...
becomes too much, you know, when you know... You're just waiting for it, right? Where's the Shyamalan Ding Dong, buddy?
I mean, I like him. I would love... I never saw Split. I never saw Glass. I do like just the what he did there with making a trilogy out of Unbreakable, something he did like, you know, whatever, 10 years earlier, 20 years earlier. I just find like super cool. I'd like to probably sit down. Maybe we should do this as a couple and sit down and watch all three. Whether you could do that back to back, I'm not sure. But I'd love to do that and just kind of take that in. Love Signs, love the obviously the early movies that he did. He being unpredictable became predictable for sure.
Exactly. Yeah. 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 The twists became predictable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe not the twists themselves, but you knew like what's coming.
Yeah. Yeah. So he almost should have just done like a series of just like really nice dramas with just like kind of like some really good storytelling as far as like deep character work and with no like ahas at the end. And then gone back to like doing some sort of twisty stuff.
Mix it up a bit, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Instead, you know, Signs and then The Village and then whatever the one. Doesn't anyone care about the bees? Mark Wahlberg. Hey, Donkey. What's up, Donkey? Mark Wahlberg. I can't. I'd have to hear it to do it better.
Which movie is this? Which movie are you?
Another Shem Knight ding-a-ding-a-ding-dong one with Mark Wahlberg about the grass.
The happenings?
Yeah, something like that. And the grass would like... Mother Nature was like releasing these pheromones that made people go crazy and kill themselves and shit like that.
Crazy. I don't think I ever saw that one. This has been cool, great, man. Sean.
Yeah, yeah.
Thanks,
buddy. We went on a little bit long, but that's fine.
Yeah, I'm sure there's stuff. Everything. Every time you were offensive with roofies or physical violence at your children. I mean, those are stuff that can cut out.
Sure. Sure. We'll see. We'll see if it makes the cutting room floor. Yeah. Anyways, this has been a great one, buddy. I'm off watch The Mosquito Coast tonight.
Yeah,
so
yeah, I'm off to watch the last episode of Mayor of Easttown.
Woo! Yeah. Thrilling. Okay, yes. I love you, man. You take care.
Love you too. Take care. Bye.
I like this and you like that. It's just another review podcast.